all of you are blessed to hear. We are revelatory people. Yes. We are revelatory people. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the Word of God to us. So we won't leave the purpose of the church. And I know, you know, okay, I'm kind of rushing through this. Okay, Ephesians 3:10 tells us the purpose in a nutshell. We're going to be doing things in a nut. I told y'all to go there, but I've got to go to Ephesians, not Ephesians, but 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I'm not going to have time to read all that. But you are, every generation is chosen. You were chosen for this generation. Amen. You were chosen for this generation. You were predestined. 1 Peter 2 and 9. You were predestined. Even before the world was formed, you were predestined. You were called. Every generation is chosen. Don't think you just got here because of your mom and your dad. You didn't. You were chosen for this generation. And this is an end time generation. It's an end time church. You were chosen for this.
That's why it's important. Thank you, children.
Huh?
They super were chosen because they're really going to have, they're going to have more, you know, I'm talking about the children we're so concerned about in this generation,
yeah.
We should pray for. They're chosen.
They're chosen for it. But this generation are responsible for leaving them something.
Oh, most definitely.
And for teaching. I know you're not saying, but they are
Don't be concerned about this generation.
They are they're going to be powerful. You hear me?
Yes.
Power pack. You're going to see children laying hand on the sick, speaking to them. And, you know, this is a chosen generation. Praise God.
And what?
There you go. If you don't leave them the purpose for it. And many of you are praying and believing God that he's going to raise up and use these children. And so, and many of you are just great grandma. You're great to those children. They can see God in you, Mary.
And you too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Charles.
David, Charles. I mean, you know, we are a chosen generation to show forth the praises of him. You know, we're so concerned about going out doing the works of Jesus. And that's good. You should be. Till sometime we leave off praising him or getting in his presence or, you know, or ministering to him. And, you know, we look at some of the ministers, I heard them asking this minister, got to be a great minister. They said, how did you fall? How did you fall? He said, I just got so busy, I didn't have time for God. I just got busy. And one of your purpose, you know, is to minister to him so you can go out and make disciples, so you can display love, so you can do the greater works.
Yes.
But if you leave him out, and that's what he's telling the churches as in Revelation as he was visiting them. He said, you know, you're doing things, but you're leaving me out.
Family life. Consume you too. Constantly, you know, assisting and doing and caregiving and doing. By the time, the end of the day, and you know,
you are so right. You are so right, sister. The cares of this world sometimes choke out the word of God, and you get so busy with the...
And it ain't intentionally, but...
It's not intentionally.
Yeah.
But we had a lesson of practicing the presence. See, all this I'm just building on.
Yeah.
We had a lesson that practicing the presence of God and everything in your busy life and what you do. David said, I sought the Lord early. I had to get up a little early because I was king and I had so many responsibilities. He said, I had to seek him early. Because I'm king and I got a lot of responsibility. But we also want to practice the presence of God and the things that we have to do that we get busy of. I'm way over my time. Oh, but we got to get to Ephesians 3:10 because we got to talk about the purpose that he put in Ephesians 3:10. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 3:10. I like Ephesians because you can see that church there. You can see where the church is sitting. You can and church, don't forget about the fourth chapter and all these other chapters in between of Ephesians, where he tells you to walk worthy of your vocation.
Yeah.
That is very important. That we walk worthy of our vocation, that our walk measure up to where we're seated and where we're standing. The book of Ephesians can be described in three words: sit, walk, and stand. It tells you how to sit, walk, and stand. We're seated in place with Christ, the authority that we can take from a heavenly realm. And then it tells us how to walk, how to live in this everyday life. You can't live no any kind of way in this everyday life. You know, some people holler, grace. I can do what I want to do because grace, he took care of it all. I can live any kind of life. No. And between this and the book of Ephesians, he said, you walk worthy.
Yeah.
Let your lifestyle be worthy of the vocation that you've been called to.
But somebody that says that is not a disciple.
Said what now?
Somebody that says that is not a disciple of the Lord.
They're not
a disciple because you got to continue in his word. And if you continue in your word, you know what to do. And you
but see, people are not really training people to be disciples.
They love the Lord.
They love the Lord, but they're not training them to be disciples, follower of the Lord.
And they perish for the lack of knowledge. They're in poverty. They have illnesses. They struggle. They have no peace. They just have worry. They have fear, all of that.
And he put the fivefold men. That's
They
love him, but
they're going to heaven when they have to know, but they're not.
He put the fivefold ministry in place that they can perfect the church.
Yeah.
That's what the fivefold ministry was put in place for, to perfect the church.
And what you said about being a mom and all, don't think that's not important. It's very important.
All of it is very important. Did you say something, Dave?
No, but Jesus did say, too, those that love me
will keep my commandment.
Obey.
But, you know, as we go on to talk about the purpose of the church never wants to lose its purpose through traditions, through many other things that they can lose their purpose. And tradition is a big thing.
Yes.
You know, I see people saying, we got to do this to win, you know, the world. You know, we got to act like the world to win the world.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know. But the power of the Holy Spirit, the power, and so they have left out the power. They're saying we just have to do like, you know, this, and we have to do this way, and we have to do that way. I'm not saying some things. Let me go into 3:10 because I'm way out of my way. Okay, Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, until, now to the intent, that means the purpose. The definition of purpose, when you look at the definition of the purpose, you have to know the original intent. Purpose, the definition for purpose is the original intent of a thing, the original intent of a thing. And only the Creator will know the original intent of it. You know, Ray was saying earlier this morning, tradition can water down the original intent for it, what it was originally for. It says, to the intent that now, unto principality and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church. Who's going to do it? By the church. The manifold wisdom of God. The church should be demonstrating to the principality. We should be enforcing what God has already done, what Jesus has already done. The manifold wisdom of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. We should be demonstrating the wisdom, the word of God. And we can break that down. This is just the purpose of the church in a nutshell. There's many ways of breaking that down. Many different. It says the manifold wisdom, the many, 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 many wisdom. We are to demonstrate. We are his voice. We are his body. And we are to demonstrate the kingdom. We got the keys. Now we have to demonstrate it to principalities. To power. You know, he said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. It's not going to prevail against it, because the purpose of it was, you know, when I go back and think about where Jesus was saying he had nowhere to lay his head, he put his head on the church. So all of our purpose and plan should be coming from the head. Yeah. We're the body. We're not the head. We are the body of Christ. We are the spiritual body of Christ. With a purpose. Yes. The purpose of the church. To let principalities and powers in heavenly places. And we're not talking about the heavenly place where Jesus, where he showed where he was sitting. You know, some people get that confused. Well, the devil is in heavenly place. He's not in the same heavenly place that you're in. He can't sit up there. Because in the first chapter, he said we're far above him. Yes, he's in the atmosphere of heaven. There's three. Go ahead, Apostle.
He was saying that the only way to be appropriate is to be connected to the head.
There you go. In the first chapter of Ephesians, chapter 1, it says we're the fullness of Christ. Because what is a head without a body? And what's a body without a head? But when they're connected, it's very effective.
Yes.
We are the body of Christ with purpose. Mm-hmm. We're living this life on purpose.
Yeah.
We've been the church on purpose because we have the plan. Mm-hmm. And the head have the plan. And I'm way past time, but we know that we are the called out ones. Praise God. And we want to evaluate our purpose.
Yes,
to make sure we're doing what we're called to do. You can do a lot of good things, but are we doing what we were called to do? The purpose of the church. Yep. Like I said, in Revelation, he had to go back and tell the church, hey, your purpose is wrong. This is not what I,
You know, they were busy, they were still gathering.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose,
you know,
was not what he created it to be.
Mm-hmm. Every time when I see people, when people go in God's presence and do exactly what they say, they fulfill a purpose. An assignment is so much better than expected traditions. When I first started out in ministry, I didn't know what to do. You know, so I just kept asking the Lord what to do. That's precisely what he wanted. And at first he didn't tell me what kind of minister I was. I said, well, what kind of minister am I? What am I going to do? Where am I going to start? How am I going to do it? He said, two words, follow me. I got up and went right on back to sleep. And every time I run across people who hear from the Lord and they do precisely what he say, is way out of the box of tradition, and it's always necessary. It's important. And it can be something that seems so simple. But one of my best examples, Kenneth Hagin did it. He went out of the box. But it's normal now because he, you know, when he first did what he did, that was not normal. Neither was Charles Capps' ministry or Kenneth Copeland. They were pioneers to get people back in faith again.
Amen.
To teach people what faith could do besides just getting you saved. With Henry Gruber, the Lord had him prayer walking. I said, wait a minute. Prayer walking, that's, well, he's not preaching. He's praying and walking in the streets where God gave him, you know. But when you listen to his testimonies, he fulfilled a great purpose and he ministered to people along the way. He passed out tracts and he prayed and walked, and I learned so much from that, from his assignment. It's so weird. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when people go in God's presence and get an assignment, what they end up doing makes so much sense, and it always causes controversy. Because people expect you to be what they're used to. And, you know, people inherit that way. People who listen to Billy Graham, they expect people to preach like that. You know, but, you know, he leaves and they have a pastor. So they expect ministry to go according to that pastor.
And they never do, because each person has their own gifting.
Yes. And too much is being lost because people are not going in the Lord's presence and doing what the specific things he created them to do. Jeremiah was called from the womb. He was designed and created for his purpose. Mm-hmm. And then he got the calling and he was anointed. And he did it. Ezekiel, the same thing. But Jeremiah and Ezekiel were priests. You know, they were Levites. So they were in the class of priests. And they were prophets, and they had to tear down kingdoms and build up kingdoms. And Ezekiel ministered to the captives and tried to get them to repent before it was too late. Everything God calls you to do has a high purpose to it. If I would have went with the permissive will and said, "Well, Lord, I just want to do it this way," too much would have been lost. The Lord trained me for things that he gave me. I know he'll do it with anybody. There were things he trained me to do and taught me. I had to learn. I couldn't just, everything he gave me to do, it looks simple, and it is. But he trained me for the specifics. And I have a format I go by. And so will anybody who follow me. And I like the way Henry Gruber stuck with it. He saw all kind of miracles. His son's eye got knocked out, and his eye was recreated in the doctor's office. The doctor ran in there and said, we've never seen this before. The retina has attached itself while he was in the office. And she was marveling. Henry Gruber, it was in one of his, I wish I knew which, I listened to his files, you know, and some of them have different testimonies in it. And this ain't the first one. One of his children was climbing a wall in school and fell and broke his neck. And the Lord healed his neck right there, and he got off the stretcher and walked away. And the nurse was trying to have Henry Gruber arrested. But she believed God. She said, oh, you're one of them, one of those fanatics. And he just kept talking to her. You have to listen to it, because, I mean, to save time, the boy got up. One of his sons was born stillborn. And Kim Gruber said, no, Lord, you promised us that this child was going to be a prophet, that he was going to have work to do, and the child came back to life. When you're in God's presence and you're following him, and you're gaining information, and you're growing, you're receiving him, and operating in faith will be easy. You know, because everything is according to the power that works in you. But when you're continually in his presence, that's what it is. That when he can give you an assignment like that, it makes all, it's necessary. People are going to live. And the Lord will do anything to get to his people.
Amen.
All right. We'll get to this one next week. The Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you for all the understanding you give your people. Lord, as individuals, help us go in your presence, hear you out, and do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.